Okay, so this one is going to be very easy for me because guess what? The main scripture that, and most of the scriptures that we're going to are scriptures that we had in our scripture reading last week. So we should know it, but if it is that you didn't have a chance to get to those readings, guess what? By the time you leave this evening, you're going to have a better understanding of what we read and, you know, some of the stuff that came out of it. All right? Thank you for your patience this morning. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your presence in this house this morning, Lord God.
Yes.
We thank you today, Lord Father, that you have been continually speaking to us about moving. And in moving, oh God, Father, you even spoke to us today about us consecrating ourselves to you so that we can see amazing things, that you can work through us, oh God, Father, because beyond a shadow of a doubt, oh God, Father, the only Christ that some people will see is us. Do you know some people will know? It's through us, oh God. And so, Lord, we pray this morning, oh God, that even as we submit to your word, oh God, Father, that you will speak by your spirit, oh God, Father, and cause that change to take place in us, oh God, Father. Because the change that we want to see, we know, Father, that it must first take place in us. And so, Father, we just commit the service to you, and we thank you for what you're about to do. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
So this morning we read 1 Kings chapter 18. And in there we saw Ahab. We saw, heard a little bit about Jezebel. But this story didn't start in 1 Kings 18. If it doesn't back up to 1 Kings 16, around verse 29, I think, you would see that King Ahab was introduced to us at that point. And there's a couple things that was said earlier talk about Ahab. And one of those things that was said was that he was one of the most evil kings that ever reigned. So much so that he did more evil than any of the other kings before him. It also tells us that he got married to a woman called Jezebel, who was a Baal worshipper. And Ahab wasn't just a guy that went out and decided that he was just going to be against God, but his whole motive, his whole intention was to pull down everything or destroy everything that set itself up to worship God or to bring glory to God. As we go through our scripture, as we go through the session this morning, I want you to bear in mind that the story that we read this morning is a real story, it's a true story.
Amen.
But I also want you to also bear in mind that Ahab and Jezebel is also are also spirits. The word of God tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickednesses in high places. As we continue reading, and you're going to see it, we kind of focus on the person. We got to see the spirit behind the people. Because in this whole, from 16 all the way to 2 Kings 9, it was a whole batch of spiritual warfare taking place, even though it played itself out as a natural warfare. And so we see in 1 Kings 17, reading from verse 1, we see that God told Elijah to show himself to Ahab and tell him that there's not going to be any more rain on the earth unless he says so. What amazed me about that is that here it is, the prophet went to the king, who was considered one of the most evil men around, and told him, listen, judgment is here, and this judgment is going to come in the form of there will not be any rain. In other words, there's a drought coming. There's a time of famine coming. But the next thing God told him is, listen, take yourself up and go to Cherim by the brook. And guess what? Some ravens are going to feed you. Let's just go there. 1 Kings 17. And it says from verse 1, 1 Kings 17. And Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to my word. And the will of the Lord came unto him, saying, get thee hence, turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith, that is beyond Jordan. And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook that I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. So he went and did according unto the word of the Lord. For he went and dwelt by the brook Cherith, that is before Jordan. The word of the Lord came to him. He spoke the word. And the next thing the Lord told him, go hide yourself. And the reason why the Lord told him, move away from there, is because he knew that Ahab would want to kill him. Just because he was trying to establish righteousness. He said, listen, go hide yourself by the brook Cherith. So in the first place, God told him to move from where he was and go to another point. But in telling him to move, he said, listen, I have told you to move, but I already made provision for you. Because I'm not going to tell you to move to one place and not ensure that you are provided for. Because wherever I send you, I back up my word. So if I tell you to move from place A to place B, it means that when you get to place B, provision will be there to take care of that movement. What I found strange in what God told him, he said, listen, the ravens are going to feed you. Now, if it is that you know ravens only deal with dead stuff. And according to the book of Leviticus, no priest was supposed to touch anything that was dead. And here it is, the dirtiest bird around had to go find food for this man of God and feed him because God commanded it. Sometimes God's going to use some of the strangest things or baffle our theology to ensure that provision is there for us.
Jesus.
We can stick to our theology. That's fine. That's good. But sometimes we'll miss God if we stay within that box that he set out. Sometimes he will change the theology around just to ensure that the provision that he wants for you is there.
Amen.
So he told him to move. That was the first time God told him to move. Now, Elijah could have said, God, that can't be you. You're telling me that this raven that deals with all this dead stuff, all this funky stuff, going to bring food for me? That don't sound like you. Sometimes provision comes in some strange ways.
Yes.
We just have to let God be God.
Amen.
You know?
Amen.
And if it is that you say X, you just got to do X. Don't try to do Y. So So it came a time that the brook dried up. And he said, okay, I want you to go down the road because there's a lady that I have already told to feed you. So he moved from one place to the next. Now, there's something to know about this woman. This woman was a widow. This is a man of God going to stay with a woman that didn't have a husband. I'm telling you, God does some strange things. And listen, this woman's going to flee you. But I like when Elijah walked up to the woman. Now, this is one thing I know about God. If God tells me to, or tells us to move from point A to point B, or if it is that he tells us, listen, I told somebody to do something, by the time we get to that person, it means that God already told that person what they're supposed to do, so that, you know, we can flow, right? And don't be like, I'm trying to tell you, look, this is what God's telling you to do.
Amen.
You already know it.
Yeah.
Right?
Amen.
But he got to the point where he got to this woman, and he told the woman, can I get a glass of water to drink, please? And she said, okay. And she walked away to go get the water. He said, while you're at it, could you bring a piece of bread for me? It was a cake.
Okay.
Cake for me. She said, listen, you ask for water, I'm cool with giving you the water. But you're asking for cake. I don't even have stuff home to take care of it. To bake a cake for you. I had the last bit of my meal and I was going to take care of my child, you know, bake something for me and my child and eat and call it a day because it's done. And let's do this. Go to verse 9 of verse 10, 17.
Verse 9. Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belongeth to Zidon, and dwell there. Behold, I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. So he arose and went to Zarephath. And when he came to the gate of the city, behold, the widow woman was there gathering of sticks. And he called to her and said, fetch me, I pray thee, a little water in a vessel that I may drink. And as she was going to fetch it, he called to her and said, Bring me, I pray thee, a morsel of bread in thine hand. And she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, I have not a cake, but an handful of meal in a barrel, and a little oil in a cruse. And behold, I am gathering two sticks, that I may go in and dress it for me and my son, that we may eat it and die. And Elijah said unto her, fear not. Go and do as thou hast said. But make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it unto me, and after make for thee and thy son, and for thy son. For thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail, until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth.
So, immediately the woman turned and told Elijah, that she didn't have anything but this little cruse, or this little bit of flour stuff, and she's going to make a little cake for her and her son to just eat and die. But this is what God did. He said, listen, with that little bit that you have, I want you to go make a cake, bring it for me. And I promise you, you do that, you will have meal to last throughout this entire famine. What did he do there? He showed her that if it is that you bring the tithe,
oh,
give God first fruits, give God first fruits, he will multiply the rest.
Amen.
He didn't do anything big and spectacular, you know, but what he's actually showing her, listen, yes, I know that you have a little bit now, but just take from that little bit, give God his portion.
Amen.
Give God his portion.
Amen.
And guess what? You're going to have to last for the entire period that you think you're not going to have for. So, the man of God didn't just get provision for himself, but by the woman's obedience, she also was provided for.
Yes.
All they did was line up with what God said. All they did was reposition themselves and put themselves in a place where the blessing of God can flow the way that God wanted it to flow in their midst.
Mm-hmm.
There's something I recognize that God was taking Elijah through as we went through these passages. One, every step of the way he was building on what happened before. Sometimes the things that we go through may not always look new, but sometimes God expects us to learn from the things that happened before and use them as stepping stones as we move to the other place. And here it was, through Elijah's obedience, God was able to provide for him every step of the way. He didn't focus on what the theology of the day was and what people think, what people feel. He just did what God said. And as he continued to walk with God, as he allowed God to have his way in his life, things started falling into place for him. We also saw that after this point, the woman's son died. And we all know the story. He came back alive. God was showing Elijah, listen, it's not about you, it's about me. And if it is that you just continue doing what I'm saying, you don't have to fear for anything. Because the story now rolls over in the First Kings 18, which is what we read this morning. Now we can start sharing the message. That was just the background. Because we needed to get there, see what happened before, so that we could be in a place to understand what's happening now.
Amen.
So here we are in First Kings 18, and the first thing God told Elijah, all right, you're going to move again. Hasn't God been telling us or talking to us about moving since January, is it?
That's right.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah. Yep.
I believe the reason why God has been talking to us about moving is because there's some things that he wants to do in us, some things that he wants to do for us.
Amen.
And as we submit and as we allow him to have his way in our lives, things are going to happen.
Amen.
Things are going to happen. And in 1 Kings 18, verse 1, he told Elijah, so this is what I want you to do. I want you to go show yourself to Ahab. Now, here in the story, we're going to meet a couple other people. We're going to meet, we're going to see Obadiah. Yes, we're going to see Ahab in all his glory. And towards the end of the chapter, we're going to see Jezebel.
Mm-hmm.
And I declare to you this morning that every time that you decide to line up with God, every time that you decide to start making steps with God, expect the enemy to try to put roadblocks in your way to hinder you from moving forward with him. There are circumstances, situations, and sometimes we make the mistake of looking at the people involved rather than the spirits involved, and we get physical. When in reality, God is telling us we need to get spiritual. We need to get into some spiritual warfare and start dealing with these demons and spirits that's attempting to hinder us from moving into the place that he wants us to be in.
Amen.
So here it was, he said, go show yourself. Now, at this point in time, God had Elijah working from the outside to bring restoration to his people. He had Obadiah working from inside the palace to bring restoration to his people. And it's so amazing how this righteous man could be right in the middle of King Ahab and Queen Jezebel.
That's right.
The way God, and he was doing stuff totally against them. Because the word tells us that when Jezebel started killing off the prophets, he took 100 of these prophets and went and hid them in caves. And not only that, he was taking food right from the palace because he was the governor and sending for those people and feeding them.
That's right.
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 I'm telling you, when we don't try to box God in. Don't try to put him in a square little box and leave him there. We need to allow God to be God, not just in our lives, but in our environment. We need to just let him be God. Let him do what he wants to do. So, Elijah met Obadiah, and then he was having a, because the king Ahab and decided, oh, here what? So we're totally out of water now. We need food, we need water. So guess what, Obadiah, you go that direction, I'll go this direction, and let's see where we can find some food to eat or some water to drink, because the palace is running out of everything. And then it was, the word of God tells us, from what we read this morning, that Obadiah feared God from his youth. He said he feared God. But there it was, he met with Elijah, and Elijah told him, go tell the king that I'm here. And then I saw something happen to Obadiah. I saw fear spread up.
Fear.
If it's one thing, the spirit of Jezebel and Ahab always does is bring fear.
Oh God.
Regardless, and you're going to see it not just in 1 Kings 18, you're going to see it in 19, you're going to see it in 20, all the way through. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. You see what we did here this morning in worship? The enemy hates it. He hates it. You know why? That was his position before he got kicked out of heaven. He was responsible for worship. Worship was actually built into him. Worship was built into him. And every time we lift our voices to God, every time we give a sacrifice of praise to God, he hates it even much more. That is why so many times he uses deception to get people to turn from God.
Yes.
So here it was, Obadiah talking to Elijah, and he's telling him, what's wrong with you, man? And I'm just putting it in normal details. What's wrong with you, man? You are telling me to go tell the king that you are here? Hold up. This guy went all throughout Israel looking for you. He even had the governors and everybody else in every city swear that you're not there. And now you want me to go tell him that you were here? You want to know how come you're up here? And not only that, next thing I go and tell him that you were here and the Spirit of God picked you up and sent you somewhere else and he killed up and you're not there? Are you trying to get me killed, man? I mean, it's normal rationale. He understands the Spirit of God. He knows the Spirit of God operate. He knows that Elijah could disappear like that and just end up in another place. So Elijah had to convince him, said, listen. This time I'm here for good. You just go ahead and tell the king I'm here. I'll be here when he comes. As a matter of fact, I won't be too far behind you. Alright? So you can be comfortable. Because he even got to the point where he said, didn't anybody tell you that I'm the one that hid 100 prophets? Because everybody else knows except the king. You know? So it came to the point where he showed himself the king Ahab. And immediately I saw a difference in the salutation between Obadiah and the king when they met Elijah. When Obadiah met Elijah, he bowed before him and he told him, listen, you are the prophet. He said, are you the prophet of God? Are you the man of God? When Ahab met with Elijah, he turned to him and said, oh, so you are the one that's troubling Israel. In other words, he came with an accusation. So much so that Elijah had to correct him. He said, no, I'm not the one that's troubling Israel. You're the one. Oh, you and your fathers and all the sin that you guys created all over this nation and caused the people to turn their hearts from God to Baal. Mm-hmm. You're the ones that created the problem. He said, but guess what? This is what I want you to do for me. I want you to go get all the prophets of Baal and tell them to meet me on the mount. Go even get those of the grove, the 400 from the groves, and tell them to meet me on the mount. Gather all the people together so everybody can see it. And the Bible says, and Ahab did so. This is a king that was trying to kill this prophet. Yet, this prophet woke up to him, given an instruction, and he just followed the instruction. I know God didn't leave out anything. He just put it plain in the scripture. There's nothing that was missed out there. No. He said, this is what I want you to do. And Ahab said, okay. You see, because that's what the spirit of Ahab does. He submits to every and anybody. He abdicates his responsibility. Even though he hates God, everything is about him. And as long as he can play with his toys, so to speak, he's all right. Just don't ruffle, you know, anything that he wants. And so he went and he got all the prophets. He got all the prophets. On the mountain. And let's just turn to verse 21. If I'm going too fast, please say so. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered not a word. people answered not a word. In the book of Revelations, it tells us that it is not good to be lukewarm. It says, if because you are neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. We are in a time where God is saying, make a decision who you want to say.
Amen.
I know Pastor Lisa was preaching this morning. I knew it. No problem. We are in a time where God is telling his people, listen, make a decision. If God be God, then serve him. If Baal be God, then serve him. But guess what? You cannot be on the fence. The days of straggling the fence is over.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
The days of being on the fence is over. Because right now we're in a time where the enemy will pick you off if you lag behind. We have moved.
Come on.
We have moved a great way into the presence of God.
Come on.
And I can tell the way we worship this morning is not how we worship in January.
Amen. Amen.
Come on.
He's doing a work in our lives.
Yeah.
And as part of that transformation process, He's bringing us to a place of brokenness where we would totally submit to him. But in the process, the enemy is going to try everything to keep you back. Because he knows that if it is that you just get to that place with God, that you will be able to do what Elijah did and more.
Come on. Jesus.
So he said, if God be God, follow him. But if Baal be God, then you follow him. And guess what? The people answer not a word. They get quiet. Then Elijah said unto the people, I only remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. Let them therefore give us 2 bullocks, and let them choose one. In other words, I'm not even going to choose for them. Let them take those choices for themselves and cut it in pieces and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And I will dress the other bullock and lay it on wood and put no fire under. And call ye on the name of your gods. And I will call on the name of the Lord.
Yeah.
And the God that answered by fire, let him be God. And all the people answered and said, it is well spoken. In other words, there are some people who will hear the word of God, jump, take action. There are some people who will never move until a 2x4 hit them over the head or some encounter with God takes place.
Come on.
Because something you're going to recognize later on is that God had said that there were 700 people who never bowed in their knees to Baal. Elijah didn't know that he wasn't around. That's why he was saying, listen, I am the only one here now. Right? Because he thought he was the only one. And many times we mistake them, we say, look, you know, it was 450 prophets of Baal. But what he also said there is that there was also the 400 of the groves. Mm-hmm. What are the groves?
That's right.
So one of the things that we found out in 1 Kings 16 is that King Ahab established a grove, which was another. It says, this is the name of a sensual, Canaanish goddess Astoreth. The feminine of the Assyrian Ishtar. Its symbol was the stem of a tree deprived of its brow and rudely shaped into an image and planted in the ground. Such religious symbols or groves are frequently alluded to in scripture. You'll find them like in Exodus 34, 13, Judges 6, 20, 26. And these images were also sometimes made of silver and carved stones. So when you talk about Ahab establishing the grove in 1 Kings 16:33, he was also saying that they had established their own religious cults.
Wow.
They were setting up stuff right in the heart of Israel.
Wow. Yeah.
So in reality, there was 850 prophets. Because there were 400 of those guys, plus the 450 that was of Baal.
Yeah.
And he said, listen, get all of them, bring them on the mount. Let me tell you something. When God speaks to you, and you know beyond a shadow of a doubt is God, and you are in a place where you know that once you make that step with God, he will provide.
Yes.
Guess what? You will do whatever he says.
Yes. Jesus.
And when you once you step into that place with him, you will see things happen that
Amen.
Would not ordinarily happen if it is that you try to do it on your own.
Amen. Come on.
Amen.
Come on.
Jesus.
Everything that Elijah told the king and told the people in terms of the process, God told him to tell the people that. He wasn't just going up giving his own words.
Amen.
He was telling them exactly what God said to do. That's why the people turn and say, oh, it's a good thing. Yeah, it's a good. Let's see who is God now. Because they had doubts. And they didn't want to make that choice on their own, probably because they were fearful of King Ahab and Jezebel.
Right.
They were afraid to get killed because they recognized, you know, they were just killing the prophets left, right, and center.
Yes.
So if they can kill the prophet, who is me? So we see he allowed the prophets of Baal to go for this, and they cut up the bullock. They set the wood, they set everything in place, and they start chanting. They have, you know, they started praying, and nothing happened. Now, this stuff started since early morning. At midday, he turned around and he looked at them and said, well, what's going on? Is your God sleeping or something? Probably he's not hearing you. Probably you need to shout a little louder. And the word tells us that they started cutting themselves and they started going through their ritual. You know, I thank God that you don't ask us to do all that sort of stuff.
Thank you, Lord.
They were cutting themselves. And you know, there are a lot of people that do that today.
Oh,
you know,
oh.
In their worship. They cut up themselves and they do all kinds of stuff. Just to get their God attention.
Oh.
And guess what? God never answered. And then, when it became the evening, the time of the evening offering, note timing. Elijah didn't choose just any old time to do what he did. He ensured that he did it exactly according to the word. So the first thing he did was set up the altar according to the word.
Amen.
The stones and everything that he put in place in establishing the altar was according to the word. He didn't just build a new altar, he built it according to the instructions in the book of Leviticus how to establish the altar. He even went as far as when they cut up the bullock, he said, listen, to show you all that this is no magic trick, just pour some water, man. Pour water the first time. Pour water the second time. He said, make sure all the trenches, everything gets full. And pour water the third time. Have you ever seen fire burn wood? Have you ever seen fire burn anything that's soaking wet? God wanted to ensure that beyond a shadow of a doubt that everybody know that he was God.
Amen.
When God is out to prove himself, he will prove himself.
Amen.
And Elijah prayed a prayer of exactly 63 words. You can count it. 63 words. See, he knew that he had a word from God, so he didn't have to go and beg God to send the fire down. He knew he had a word from God. And all he was doing is saying, God, you told me to do this, now you do your part. And the word of God tells us, and the fire of the Lord fell. I know I'm not walking through the scripture, because we have read it almost like about 3 times already. All right? Fire of the Lord fell. And when the fire fell, the word of God tells us that it burnt up the offering. It burnt up the wood. It licked up the dust, the stone, the water in the trench. And I want to spend a little time here. Have you ever seen fire burning stone? So one thing I recognize in this whole, you know, when the fire fell, what happened was this. That entire altar was destroyed. Because this altar was only set for one time. God didn't want anybody to come and try and use that altar again.
Amen.
Because the altar was already established in Israel. The altar was already established in Jerusalem. So there was supposed to be no other altar.
No other altar. That's
right.
Amen.
All right? Apart from which, when that fire fell, it burnt up the offering. But it also burnt up the wood that was soaking wet. It licked up, it burnt the stone. It licked up the mud. Now let's just think about it for a little bit. Stones are very hard. When the fire of the Lord comes, it is able to destroy even the hard things in our lives. The things that are hard to give up, the things that are so stony that, you know, at one point in the way, our hearts are referred to as. Yeah. So God is even able to soften our hearts.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yes, we're supposed to build our house upon the rock. But we have to be careful which rock we build on. Because if you know a little bit about rocks, there are different grades of rocks.
Mm-hmm.
Alright? And they can be very or chalky. You know, where you crumble quite easily.
Yes, right.
And there's also
yes.
the rock that's really hard.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Right?
Yes.
So we've got to be careful of the rock that we build on.
Yes.
The word of God tells, there's a song that we say, you know, What goes? Yes. I built my house and nothing has. My hope is built and nothing less than Jesus Christ's righteousness. Right? Go ahead.
On Christ the solid rock I stand.
All the ground is sinking sand.
So any other rock apart from the rock of Jesus is sinking sand.
Amen.
But the word tells us, even in this chapter, that the fire licked up the dust and the muck. Dust is very irritating. So those things that are irritating in your life, the fire is able to deal with that.
Amen.
The word, the things in our lives that are not durable. The word is not durable. It rots. The fire is able to deal with that.
Amen.
Come on.
In other words, there is nothing in our life that can hinder us once that fire comes.
Amen.
Because that fire is able to burn up everything, get rid of it, so that the next verse could come to pass.
Yes.
The word of God tells us in the next verse, and all the people bowed down and started worshiping God.
Amen.
And they said, the Lord, he is the God. There's no other God. The Lord,
Amen.
He is the God.
Amen.
Amen.
This morning, I'm not saying that we're going to be doing the same thing that Elijah did. But I'm telling you that there are circumstances and situations that's happening in our lives that's setting us up so other people can see and know and say that the Lord, He is the God.
Amen.
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 As I was sharing with Pastor Larry before I came in this morning, I wasn't sure if I was going to share, but I think I should at this point. Well, everyone knew that, you know, I now work at the Laurel location in Burlington. I've been here for almost like 2 months, 3 months. The nice thing about working there is that it's a relatively new store. All the fixtures and stuff nice, so you know it takes less on your physical body to fix stuff and move stuff around. The problem with it is that in the last 1.5 years, there have not been a male on the management staff of that store for the last 1.5 years. I walk into that building, and for the first time in 2.5 years, there was a man in the building. And of late, Jezebel has risen ahead. But I thank God for his wisdom and his understanding.
Amen.
Because he has shown me that I don't need to fight this battle here, I need to fight it here.
That's right.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Prayer battle.
And everybody's confused because Maurice is not saying anything. He's just coming to work, doing what he's supposed to do, getting it done. It's getting done. For some strange reason, normally we get 3 trucks a week. Over the last couple of weeks, we have been getting 5 trucks a week.
Mm-hmm.
The normal workload that we get in our store is like 400 cartons. We have been getting 600 cartons per day.
Mm.
Per day. So the workload quadruple.
Mm-hmm.
Or should I say, I don't know how it's
called.
And I know everybody was standing up, looking to see Maurice fail, looking to see the team fail. But I thank God that because of his wisdom, I did not deal with the spirit in my flesh. but I dealt with it on my knees.
Amen.
We are entering, or we should be already, but we are entering into a time of spiritual warfare
yes.
that we have never seen
yes.
before.
Yes.
If you think the enemy is coming at you one way, he might be coming six. And the only place that you can be to ensure that you know he don't get to you is right smack in the center of God's will.
Amen.
Amen.
You know, I remember last year, that all through the year, that was what I was asking God for. Remember that, Pastor Larry? That's what I was asking God for. Not knowing that once I get inside there, that all the stuff was going to happen around me. But I'm glad I'm there.
Amen.
I'm glad I'm there. That's why I tell people, when you see Moorish worship, don't worry about it. You just let him be here.
Amen.
Because I'm telling you, I got to worship him.
Amen.
I have to.
Amen.
I have to.
Amen.
And we need to.
Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Come on.
I'll tell you.
Come on.
Once we get to that place of repositioning ourselves where God can do it,
yes.
just think about this. What if we all decide today that we're going to act on every single promise of the word? What do you think will happen?
Okay.
If we all decide to do it.
Okay.
And we don't just think it, we actually start doing it. I'm not saying it's going to be perfect every day, but we actually start
come
doing
on,
it.
Come on, come on.
You know what's going to happen?
Come on.
But you cannot enter inside here with fear. You cannot enter with all those things.
Yes.
You know,
Jesus.
As I said in the beginning, the change that we're crying out for needs to start with us.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Jesus. Amen.
The change we want to see must begin with me.
Jesus.
I want to be in that place where I am walking every day in this world. I'm not there, but I want to be there. Because I'll tell you, this one man caused a revival to break out in that nation.
Jesus.
All the people bowed before God that day. And he turned to the king afterwards and said, hear what? You go eat. Because I hear the sound of the abundance of rain.
Yeah.
In other words, now that we break this curse over the nation,
yeah.
guess what? Now the blessings can flow.
Oh.
Thank you, Lord.
Now the blessing can flow. So he went and he said, Lord, you promise.
You
to let it rain. You promise, Lord. And he told his servant, go check and see what's going on. Go up on the, you know, to the top of the mountain, take a look, see what's happening in the ocean. 7 times the guy went and come back. And the 7th time he turned and said, I see a cloud. He said, okay, let's move. He said, go tell Ahab, get down and start moving. Because, and just in that moment between his servant telling him that he saw the, you know, this little cloud rising. To the time that he told his servant to go and tell the king to start moving, they said the place got dark suddenly.
Yes.
In other words, it just happened rapidly.
Jesus.
I remember the disciples being in the upper room. The word of God said, and suddenly, there was a wind, and the tongues a fire kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
And when that fire fell in that upper room, it transformed the life of every person in that room. Yes, there may have been hundreds of disciples, but guess what? Only 120 was in that room that night.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the others thought, probably I can take a night off.
Mm-hmm.
Probably the others thought, you know, I can take a day off.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But after that, you find that the lives of the disciples change to the point that they can walk into the street and 3,000 people get saved. That's that day. 3,000, bam! I'm telling you, the Lord is about to do some stuff that will marvel some of us. Who it was?
Amen.
Pam brought a word some time back where she said she saw a bus.
Yes.
Was it? A bus. I'm not forgetting that word. I believe it. That was God.
Mm-hmm.
She saw a bus coming down the road here.
Mm-hmm.
One of those tour buses. And it's like, and it was just filled with people driving straight into this park. Pastor Larry and I were talking about fixing, he was talking to me about fixing the parking lot outside there this morning. And I turned and said to him, I said, yeah, but we'll fix it and then we'll get more cars. It's about to explode.
Yeah.
But we need to be in position as Sister Pacula this morning. Because guess what? They'd be looking to us to help them, to train them, to teach them.
Yeah.
We are the ones.
Yes.
Amen.
Yes, Lord. Yes.
Pat said it this morning.
Come on.
Actually, the Lord said it through Pat this morning.
Yes. Come on.
We need to be there. We need to be there. We need to be there. There's another piece I wanted to add, but I'll stop here if I just say this piece. What so amazed me about God? If I was God, that was a good time to get rid of Jezebel, kill her, get rid of Ahab, get rid of... But guess what? Go to London to hang out for a little bit longer. You know why? Because eventually he gave Elijah a word to give to give to Ahab. And when Ahab heard it, Ahab repented.
Yes.
Ahab repented. And God said, okay, well, I wouldn't do it now. I'll wait until you die, and then I'll take care of your sons and everybody else. And he did. There's even room for Ahab to repent.
Amen.
Don't be looking at, you know, some of the folk that may be doing some stuff in your life, and you say, Lord, just get rid of them. Guess what? There's room for them too.
Amen.
There's room.
Amen.
Amen.
God has made room for repentance.
Amen. Come on.
God has made room for repentance. Remember, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. The last song we sang, the song was saying that God had need of you. Yet, he has need of all of us. This is not a time to draw back. This is a time to lean in, as Pastor Larry would say, or to press forward.
Yes. Amen.
So the little things that we see happening in our lives, guess what? That's just the enemy trying to distract. Forget the distractions.
That's right. Amen. Come on.
I'm telling you, Elijah was so focused on what God gave him to do that nobody can divert, distract him. You know, I remember Jesus. And I'm always marveled at Jesus. Because Jesus had 12 disciples. And every single thing that Jesus did, he did as teaching for his disciples. In other words, he was teaching them what to do. And I'm quite sure there were other people, Pastor Larry, that were pulling on him. But guess what? Jesus only did what the Father told him to do. We said that the last time I was up here. He only did what the Father told him to do. You see, this is one thing I recognize about Jesus. Is that he knew who was assigned to him and who he was assigned to. And he didn't allow time wasters and other people to get in his way and hindering him and forcing him into a place that he would be distracted from God. That he would be distracted from God and allow God, allow judgment to come on him. He ensured that he remained in that place. I'm quite sure Jesus could have as much disciples as he wanted, but the Father gave him 12 and he said, listen, you give me 12 and I haven't lost any. Except the sanctification, which you know, right? Yeah, you gotta go. We've got to be focused. We've got to know, put ourselves in a place where we are fine-tuned to the voice of God. And to explain that, I'll give you this example. So I normally have my car radio playing on 95.1. And this week on Thursday, I had to make a trip out to Frederick. And when I got out to Frederick, Pastor Tayo, I started hearing some strange music coming out of my car radio. It was on 95.1. But that was a different 95.1. Yeah, it was 95.1 when I was in Maryland, when I was in Baltimore, but when I got, it was a different 95.1. You see, when you move, you got to make sure that you find tune the frequency.
Come on.
You got to be sure and know that the person that's talking to you is God. Yeah. He says, my sheep know my voice, and another they will not obey.
Yes.
We need to ensure that we are hearing his voice every single time.
Yes.
That way you can walk in confidence. That way you can walk in boldness. Yes. That way you can say what God says and don't even have to worry about it.
Yeah. Amen.
Because you know that it's God telling you to say that, and that's what you said.
Amen.
Yes.
So in moving, make sure that you keep the frequency where you want it. Or else there'll be distortions and then you'll be hearing some stuff. You say, but that's not God.
Yes.
So in moving, move. If he says move, move. Everything that God does, he does for a reason.
Amen.
And don't think that anything that has happened in our life in the past was just for the past. He is building on everything.
Yes, he is.
Everything. Come everything. Yeah. If you let you look back, you would understand why X happened, or why Y happened, or why it didn't go the way that you wanted, but you know that, yes, God, I understand now.
Yeah.
Many times in the moment, we can't see it, we don't hear it, you know, we're unsure.
Amen.
But guess what? You just got to know what God says and stay in that place where you're hearing his voice.
Amen.
Stay in that place where we're hearing his voice.
Yeah.
Because then we open up ourselves for the Spirit of God to work through us and do what he wants to do.
Amen.
We sang about revival this morning. I'm telling you, revival has already started breaking out in America. It has already started. And in our lives, the only thing that God is waiting for is for us to just reposition ourselves. Line up.
Amen.
Line up. People are going to be coming to you. People are going to be calling on you. People are going to be pulling on you. You need to know, or you need to have the word that they need. Because guess what? We are the only Jesus that some of them want to see, some of them want to hear, some of them want to believe. So as we continue to empty ourselves and allow him to fill us up. Let's ensure that we are consecrating ourselves to him and just allowing him to have his way in us. Because guess what? It's not about us. It's not about us. Father, we just thank you for this time we have with you today, oh God. We thank you for the walls that you have broken down. We thank you, oh God, for the mindsets that you have set right. We thank you, oh God, Father, for just moving by your spirit today, oh God, and
yes,
just
Lord,
bringing us, oh God, Father, into this place with you, oh God, Father, where we know that you are the God.
Amen.
That you are the Lord.
Amen.
And there is none like you, oh God.
Amen.
Continue, oh God, Father, to teach us.
Yes,
Lord. How to war a good war.
Yes, Lord.
How to submit to you and allow you to work through us, oh God,
yes,
to bring deliverance to those around us.
Yes, God. Jesus.
Cause this word not to fall to the ground, oh God, Father, but cause us to be mindful of it, oh God, as we go through the rest of this evening and this weekend, oh God. Cause it to become alive in us. That as we put it into practice, oh God, Father, we can start seeing your spirit flow through us.
In the name of Jesus.
Because, Lord, we know that you are already in us.
Yes, God.
And so, Father, thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Lord. Even as we recommit ourselves to you, God, Father, we just pray, Father, that your fire will fall, oh God, Father.
Yes.
Burning up those things in our lives that are not of you, oh God, Father. Those things that have hindered in the past, those
yes,
things,
Lord.
Oh God, Father, that has caused us to stumble in the past, oh God,
yes,
Father.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
We know, God, that you are more than able to do it for us, oh God.
Thank you, God.
You said to call unto you, and you will answer us, and you will show us great and mighty things that we know it's not, oh God.
Amen.
You said, Father, that if it is that we confess our sins, that you are faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us of all unrighteousness, oh God.
Yes.
And so, Father, this morning, oh God, Father, we thank you for just moving in our lives,
yes,
for cleaning us up, oh God, for bringing to our attention those things that we need to do, those things that we need to give up, those things that we need to forsake, oh God, Father. And we ask that you will fill us up with your spirit, oh God, Father. As a matter of fact, we ask that you will possess us with your spirit, oh God.
Yes, in the name of Jesus.
Because, Lord, there's a world out here just waiting, oh God, Father, for your presence. And so, Lord, we volunteer this morning, oh God, Father, let it be us.
Yes.
Yes, God.
Let it be us.
Yes,
God.
We are willing, oh God.
Yes, God.
You're looking for a man, you're looking for a woman, let it be us, oh God.
Yes, Father.
We volunteer, Father, let, for the assignment.
Yes.
Let it be us. In Jesus' name we pray.
Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Thank you, Maurice.
Thank you,
for those words. One of the things I was observing was that
everybody was repositioning themselves. Ahab, Maurice brought out that Ahab had to reposition himself after he went through that experience, and he did repent later on after he saw what God had done and called on the name of God. We know his story isn't over yet here if you read on. But even Obadiah had to reposition himself because he thought, well, man, I'm serving God and now you're asking me to do this. This is going to mean my death. But he had to reposition himself. Serve God no matter what happens. Just, you know, commit your service to God and let God take care of the outcome. Amen?
Amen.
And even Elijah had to reposition himself. Isn't that right? Amen. He had to reposition himself as well. And so we must reposition ourselves too. Amen?
Amen.
Now, one of the things I was also observing is that, you know, the people had to reposition themselves because they was going after, you know, what the leaders were going after until Elijah showed them who God really was.
Yes.
And then they repositioned themselves saying, he is the Lord, he is the God.
He
is the God, the only God. Amen? And so the people had to reposition themselves. But another thing that I was thinking about there, Maurice, is that, you know, a lot of times people think that if they only had this great miracle, this great sign or wonder, then they would really serve God. You know? And it's waiting on some great miracle to happen for them to serve God, for them to turn to God. And if you look at this, you look at the history of this story, you'll find, and if you actually look at the history of the people of God, you can find that God did lots of miracles.
Yes, he did.
You know, if it only took a miracle to serve God, then we'd all be serving God all the time, right? You know what I'm saying? But, you know, very often a miracle just requires another miracle.
Yeah.
You get into another jam, and you're going to serve God this time, whether a miracle happens or not. Oh, I want a miracle. You know, I want a miracle. You know? And so faith is serving God no matter what. No matter what's happening, that we serve God. Amen?
Amen.
The word of God is written for our admonition. Isn't that right? We're faithful as students of the word of God. We learn and we see what God has done for his people in the past. And we know that God loves us, that he cares for us, that he is the deliverer. And so the repositioning is really of our faith. The repositioning is really of our faith, of our trust in him, that no matter what's going on in our surroundings, you know, just like Elijah and just like all the rest of them, no matter what's going on in our surroundings, that our faith, our hope, and our confidence is in God. Just look at what's happened in this country. We're coming up to our Independence Day, in this country. Just look at the downslide that this country has taken from its original, you know, birth and roots, you know, and faith in God. And just look at how this country was sliding back. And a group of people started praying, you know, And the unlikely candidate, you know, I was watching last night. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was last night. There was a speech last night honoring veterans and whatnot. I was just watching this unlikely candidate who has become president, giving honor to God, and you know, and signing the what is the piece about the Johnson Amendment. You know, he was talking about that. Just different things. It's like the whole atmosphere in a way has changed. If you've been paying attention to these things over a period of years, the entire atmosphere has changed regarding things that have, and so a window, as it were, has opened. You know, a window has opened because they were talking about shutting down pastors who preach about homosexuality and putting pastors in jail. That means us. you know, and so there was a lot of concern, you know, among some. I wasn't concerned. because the matter of faith is doing what you're supposed to be doing no matter what the consequences are anyway. Isn't that right?
Amen.
The consequences are not the determinant of what you should do. What God says is what determines what you should do. You understand what I'm saying? But there was a lot of concern and a lot of articles being written in, leadership magazines and different things about the way we were going. The slide was getting ready to get steep. If you would have elected the other candidate, the slide, instead of slide, you would have dropped, because of the agenda of that group of people, And so, therefore, the change it's just really opened up a window of revival, not only in this country, because this country has executed a leadership position in the world. Even though even that has slid somewhat, it still wields influence in many other countries, many other nations, many other states in the world. And so what's happened now is a window has opened for the gospel to go further. I know that there are mission lands abroad, but there are mission fields right in this country. And when you think of not only geographical territory, but societies and systems and just different areas of influence, there's so much territory to be broken, that there are mission fields right here in this country.
Yeah.
And so I feel, and I think many of us also feel, that a window has now been opened, to reach out, to preach the gospel, to, let's take advantage of it. Let's reposition ourselves. Amen. Let's take a stand. There's a statement that you've heard over and over again that evil triumphs. So when good men do nothing, evil triumphs when good men do nothing. And I think in a large measure in the last period that we've been through, evil was triumphing because good men weren't doing anything. And so the evil men were plotting and planning, and they had their agenda, the homosexual agenda, the liberal agenda, and all these things was going on. It was going on. And they were plotting and planning, and consequently you had what you had. And that caused a revival amongst those Bible-believing, persons who were praying, for the things of God in this nation. This nation is a pivotal nation. And as you celebrate your Independence Day this week, just remember what that independence was all about. It was an independence from religious intolerance. It was independence from being told how to worship and told what you can do and what you can't do. And people rose up against that in order to establish a nation where we could worship God according to his word and according to our conscience. And so, that's a big thing. That's a major thing in this earth, because America is a baby nation. I always call America the baby among nations because, America's a young nation. If you think of nations like France, Italy, Germany, England, those ancient nations. Those are ancient nations. And so they've had systems and monarchies and, systems that they developed over years, but they were very repressive systems. And America has come out from those nations and established a nation of independence and a nation of freedom. And that's really something, when you say America the Great and God bless America, America was established as a means of freedom and to export that freedom. But also, if you study church history, you'll see that from America, the gospel has been blasted out around the world from America, primarily from America, sending out missionaries and whatnot. Not that other countries don't send out missionaries, but if you look over the church history, you'll see that most of the missionaries came out of America and going out the other nations around the world, published Bibles in different languages and things like that. So sent money and, you know, money and men and missions to other nations of the world. So, you know, as an American, you have a lot to be proud of, but also as an American, you have a lot to be responsible for. Because just like this nation Israel that Maurice was preaching about, the northern kingdom Israel, you understand the split kingdom, right? The northern kingdom and the southern kingdom, right? The northern kingdom Israel, most of the time in the Bible when it talks about Israel, it's talking about the northern kingdom, which is the apostate kingdom, you know, had the same gospel, has the same God as the southern kingdom. But yet they became apostate, and they went away from God. And even in this case, Ahab repented, but not for long, you know. And so we have, you know, we're given all of this opportunity, and with opportunity, like I told the children this week, with the benefits come what? Responsibilities, right? And so we have responsibilities to, you know, in our, you know, because, you know, one of the things about this gospel, you get all these benefits and we love the blessings and everything, but we have a responsibility. And that responsibility is about living this gospel out, like being the gospel.
Yes. Yes.
About being the gospel.
Yes.
You know, being
Amen.
An epistle
Amen.
Written in the flesh, you know, when you meet and you know, when you encounter people at home, at work, how you do life is
yes.
the gospel.
That
I do life differently
yes.
because my life has been affected
yes.
with righteousness,
yes.
the righteousness of God in Jesus
Amen.
Christ.
Amen.
And so I do life differently.
Thank you.
How do I do disputes? How do I do, you know, offense? You know, I do it differently because my life has been affected by the gospel of God and Jesus Christ. I do it different. You understand what I'm saying? I don't do it the same the way I used to do it.
Amen.
Get my stick and want to hurt somebody. So you know what I'm saying? I don't do it the same. I forgive. You know, I love. Reach out. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
And so that, you know, it's about being. It's about being the gospel of God and Jesus Christ. Amen. So
Amen.
Enjoy your 4th of July. Fried grilled chicken, macaroni cheese. What else we have? Corn on the cob, on the grill. Whether it's wrapped in foil or whether you leave it in the husk. Right? Crab cakes and tea salad. Enjoy it. But remember, you have a one after you eat it. Remember, you got a responsibility. All of that. Ebony, stand up. I was so blessed when I saw Ebony and Asa. Stand up, Asa. Asa got all these red, white, and blue too. Stand up, Asa. I'm proud of my country. That's right. Amen. America the beautiful. Amen. Glory to God. Anybody have anything? We close.
That too.
Yes, sir. I have one thing I want to say, and I think it needs to be said.
Yes, sir.
I was away from the Veterans Hospital about 2 years,
mm-hmm.
2 war years, and our sister
Christine
set up all appointments. She's taken me to every single one, pick me up, take me home. As you notice, I have my ears, my doohickeys here, but I have to get them straightened out. So she's taking me back again this week coming. So I just thank God for people like her that are reaching out.
Amen.
And
Amen.
I don't know all that talk that she knows. But she knows how to get things done.
Get it done.
Amen. She is my spokesperson when we go to the VA.
Yes.
I sit and I listen.
Amen.
What do we do?
Where are we going next?
So I just want to give God glory.
Amen.
Chris for helping me out in those years.
Right.
And just getting back into the system.
Yeah.
Where now, where I was buying everything personally.
That's right.
I can get almost free at the
That's right.
Amen.
It's not free. But
free to him.
You already took care of the responsibility. Oh, so now you got the benefits.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
That's Christine being the gospel.
Yes,
amen.
Man.
Thank you, Christine.
Thank you, Christine.
Sister Lori.
Amen.
us. I've just wrote it down with the Lord gave me. It says, all the relationships that are being established that God is restoring and relationships that are ending are not in vain. A revival is coming, and we will be the vessel God will use to carry out those who God is calling to repentance, those who are ready to receive salvation, and those who are looking for that person who will lead them to the truth will come straight to us. God is taking us on a journey to the people that we are assigned to show you who to pray for, how to pray for them, what it is that's going on in the darkness so that we can be the light.
Amen.
And
amen.
That's what I
was
saying. Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
Christian firefighter.
Amen.
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 Fire ender.
Amen.
Life preserver. Thank you.
Amen. I'm a
veteran. Veteran?
Amen.
I'm going
to say thank you for all of that.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Yeah.
Christine.
Thank
amen.
You think about the fourth beyond
Eric.
As well.
Danielle.
Amen.
Any other veterans? Veterans of foreign wars.
John's,
yeah, John.
Brother Edwards.
Yeah. Pastor Leone?
It's nice to have Pastor Kyle back there.
Amen. Jet lag, he said.
jet lag.
Not jet lag. Love you too. All right. Let us stand and be dismissed if there's nothing else. I want to thank Jayla and Malcolm and Kenny for their service this week. They really served and helped out in so many different situations. Thank you, Lord, for your position, Lord God. Firm rock that you are, Lord God. And we just thank you, Lord God, that you have shed your grace and your mercy upon us, Lord God. You've given us an opportunity to participate, Lord God, in all of the blessings that you've bestowed upon us and even all the future plans and promises that you have made for us, Lord, provisions that you've made for us. Lord, we receive it even now, Lord God, all that you purpose, all that you plan. We persevere into, Lord God, with peace and with patience. We persevere into your purpose and into your plan. Lord God, as we leave this place today, Lord God, may we never leave your presence, Lord God. Keep our hearts fixed on you, Lord God. Your word, your will, and your way. Bless us and keep us, Lord God, even as we bless your name and keep your name ever before us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please have a happy, joyful, and safe holiday this week. Amen.
Amen.
Be safe.
Amen.
Practice safety. Amen.
Amen.
Get with your family, friends, enjoy and have an enjoyable and lovely, joyous time. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. No words, man. That's right. Amen. Bless you.
Send him home. Look, it's cheap. I don't have to. Well, my son just got back. Okay.
Thank you.
has it.
The bag goes with the dress. Yes. You gave me the bag and somebody gave me this. So lovely. It goes. I said I'll use it today. I'll come and show you.
Yeah.
Mama, thank you.
Wow.
We're not going to let him go with it. He'll go and I'll follow him. I'll be around till 2 o'clock. I'm around. We're still around for a while. Yeah. And then when we go,
Thank you. Yeah, I just bet. vacuum. It takes like 3 minutes to go through.
Okay. What else you do?
Put the tissues back where they belong. Check to make sure the toilet's working and the trash is not broken.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, because, you know, one time at the end of service, I went in there, Lord have mercy, the trash can was broken, the lid wasn't on.
No, that trash can is like that.
No, today, I mean, usually
it's open. They've been having problems. That's the reason why they put it in there. Or they had it somewhere else, and then they noticed that it was doing that. And
well, I mean, it was actually, the lid was off, and it wasn't working at all.
That's why they put it in there, because
yeah.
Is this thing still running?
I hope not. Check it. Turn it off. Well, take it out and give it to them.
Did bring my own juice, didn't I? Oh, okay. Okay. Uh-oh. Oh, Lord.